Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 138, part 1, Are You in the Smoke? Today is Friday, March 19th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to call between 1 and 3 p.m. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Be sure to join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes. You can email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org, and in the show notes, you're going to also find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's messages and Sundays for part two. This month, the messages are the following. Go forth without the camp. Are we sincere? Are you in the smoke? The riches of his grace. So there you have it, the month of March. Have a great month and a beautiful spring. God bless you.
Sometime back, we ministered on this verse in I think today we should examine it a little further, because I think probably now you'd understand it a little better. Here it is, and let's take a look at it in Psalm 119 and 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. A bottle in the smoke, which means they had like leather bottles which they hung in the poorer people's homes way back then in David's time. And it hung like from the roof or from the sides of the walls in the very humble homes in Asia and in Persia and Armenia, Turkey, and so on. They kept liquid and dry goods in them, and they had no chimney, so the smoke had to escape through the little cracks in the roof or even just through the door. And so these vessels would become black, and they become discolored from the smoke, and they become all wrinkled, kind of hard-like. And when vessels such as these are held dry goods and not liquids, they got even harder. They even got more shriveled and more discolored. Now I believe David doubtless had seen such bottles hanging in the tents of his poor people when he was on the run. When he had to run away from Saul, when he had to get out of the camp, when he had to leave, his land. And I believe he saw this, and I believe this is where this verse comes from. Of course, it didn't happen in his palace, but in the cottages, I say, of his own poor people, I'm sure he saw this. And so he says to himself, I am become by trouble, by affliction, by trial, by persecution, like a bottle in the smoke. And yet, I do not forget thy statutes. So first of all, God's people have their trials. they get put in the smoke. And secondly, God's people feel their trials. Now, a lot of times people don't want to say, well, I don't feel it. I'm not going to go by feeling. They feel their trials. Let's get realistic. They feel their trials. They become like a bottle in the smoke. And thirdly, God's people do not forget God's statutes. They think on God. They think on the Word of God. When they're in these trials, now God's real people will think on the Lord. Now picture David here. His enemies have brought him anguish and great depression. That happens. You have some enemies, maybe even your own home, that cause you anguish and a great depression. And yet he keeps on. And let this encourage some of you sitting here today, some of you listening on the radio or to a tape. If you're depressed, if you're that wine sack, if you're that wine bottle hanging up, or that bottle that holds some kind of goods, that leather vessel that's holding some kind of goods that's dried and cracked and parched, joy will come, and great joy. He waits for his hope in this Word. Your hope is in the Word of God. There is no other hope. Now, you can read all kinds of books. The measure they help you is a measure of the Word of God that they have in them. You can hear all kinds of ministries, but it's the measure that the gospel is preached and the measure of the deliverance by the Holy Spirit working through the vessel that it's going to help you to be delivered. It's a measure that you receive by the grace of God that's going to help you also. So you come and you bring your wine sack in here. Maybe it's dried and parched and depressed. Maybe it's in a place where there's a lot of smoke. Maybe you're listening on the radio, you're in a place where there's a lot of smoke, or to this tape and there's a lot of smoke in your life. But I believe as full-grown saints, we know to wait, because help will come. Now, if it's one thing I've learned how to wait. Now, saying that, I'll probably have to wait a little longer the next time. See, there's a danger in ministering the Word of God, because, see, you have to actually have to live what you preach. Especially when it's from the Holy Spirit. If it's not from the Holy Spirit, you won't have to live it, because He didn't give it to you. You got it all by yourself. You got some movie or whatever. But when the Holy Spirit puts that message in you, you preach that message. Or another danger is listening to the message. You might get stabbed in your heart while you're sitting right here now today. It might be that two-edged sword. Now, it's a mini-edged sword, really, in the original Greek. I mean, no matter which way you wield that sword, it'll cut. And it'll cut so deep, it'll kill you. And so it takes a miracle of God and only the grace of God to bring you back again. It's the only one that can heal that wound is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know, so the Word saves you and keeps you, and it kills you. You say, well, make up your mind. Well, it has to kill you first so it can bring you alive again. But sometimes there's a danger in sitting in a message. You say, oh, you're ministering right to me. Well, maybe that's so. But hey, the Holy Spirit does that. Just let it be. But anyway, these emptied skins were like David's face and like his mind, wrinkled. Maybe he had a few wrinkles in his soul. It was worn, unused. His character was smoked by slander. Oh, man, in my ministry, I'll tell you, it just naturally follows that people love to slander, don't they? I mean, it just starts out with a little, oh, it's an evil question. I wonder why, or this, or, you know what I mean? How many are hearing this? And in your lives, when you're following Christ and you're doing the works of the Lord, expect to be slandered. Just expect that. Now, if you try to act real nice and try to get along with sin so you won't be slandered, hey, who are you fooling? They'll slander you anyway. They slander each other. Ooh. But these empty wineskins, his character was slandered. He was empty. He was dry. He was parched with persecution. Mental, miserable, persecution. Now, isn't persecution and it aren't trials, don't they make you miserable? And don't you look like some kind of an old wineskin? Hanging up in the smoke? Huh? And you're all dark about your face and you're all, hanging the mouth? I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. Now, these bottles that were in the smoke, they had very little inflation, very little fatness, very little moisture or beauty. They had none. And thus, I believe, God wastes away, debases, and empties his people. This is of the Lord. He empties you. He gives you the trial. He hangs you up in the smoke. And he empties you out for a reason, so that he can fill you up with divine things. You feel like you're hanging in some old smoky place? Praise God for it. So number one, God's people have their trials. And this is true, because trials were in the covenant. God never intended that his people should be untried. And David had no sleep. No sleep. He was in this very smoky place. He waited on the Lord to save him from these relentless enemies. Does it ever seem like your enemies are relentless? That the devil just keeps right on and won't let... Now, don't blame people. They're just used. Whew. Never was meant that we would have, or that we could even choose, peace and safety. No. That's not the way it is, following the Lord. And we will have no perpetual happiness down here. You won't live in a little vine-covered cottage, all comfortable with little cakes baking in the oven and a little, pleasingly plump wife with a little bun in the back of her head delivered. More cakes, baby? No, it isn't going to be that way. Little kids gurgling and running about and swinging and little, swings with flowers on them, and you see through this sort of a mystical fog all these beautiful meanderings of your mind. It isn't so. It's not the way it is. And to me, that would be sickening anyway. See, I'm used to being in a smoky place. Now, for saying that, I'll probably go into a smokehouse. But it was never meant that we should be free from all sicknesses. Now, I know that there are going to be talks. Oh, man, oh, well, hey. It was never meant to be. It was never meant to be. You're in the world. It was never meant to be that you be free from all the pains of mortality. But your light affliction is but for a moment, 100 years or so. Don't worry about it. But instead, when God made this covenant, he made the rod of the covenant also. And when he drew up the character of privileges, he also drew up the character and the charter of chastisements. When he got your character, he says, this is the character I'm going to make. You open up a door, and there is a charter of all of the chastisements it's going to take to make you like what he sees there in a finished work, like you're already finished. He sees it because he knows that he's going to give you these chastisements, and that's the way you're going to be when you get done with that rod wrapping you on top of your noggin, okay? Now, it's getting quiet in here because it's just too much truth. That is the way it is. Now, you positive talk all you want to, just hate. Go ahead on with it. You just say, I refuse to receive that. Or you sit there miserable, wondering what's going on. I'm just telling you what's going on. This would give you some kind of peace. Now you know what to expect. If God is going to make us over, now when you have your own children, don't you have a set of rules over here? Don't you? Or don't you go down and buy some kind of a book, and most of the books you get from the world are worth nothing anyway. But anyway, you have these rules over here, and in the schools, they don't have no rules at all. They're so afraid that someone might say that they're too brutal. So you kid can be kicking on them and everything, and see, they're looking at them, and the kid comes up and kicks them. Ooh, what a strange behavior this child has, and they write it down. Instead of picking the kid up and giving him a good slap. Don't you understand? But there are rules. And if you don't follow those rules as a child, the chastisements to make you, and your folks want you to be a type of person, you know what I mean? Somehow they're going to do it. And your Heavenly Father has these chastisements all ready for you. Well, not me, because, hey, I'm just going to play the moderation bit. You know? You take a look at them chastisements that's up on that wall, I'm going to tell you, you are going to mind God one way or another. That is the way it is. And if you're going to do it with both arms and legs up in casts, well, then that's the way it's going to be. God will have his way. Yes, yes, but I've got a lot of living to do. I'm young, I'm vivacious, I'm beautiful. People love me. They love the way I look and talk and my speech and my whole makeup. Oh, woo. Well, that's the way I used to talk. Look what happened to me. How many here? Now, I know there's somebody on the radio. It's talking right to me. Someone must have called. Now, that's how you are. You think you're the only lovely woman in the world. Let me tell you, there's a lot of them. Isn't that right? Isn't that pride? How many are hearing that? Or altogether lovely man. You are going to get, there is a covenant with a rod in it. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Well, don't we have a Heavenly Father? Oh, maybe this is too realistic. I don't know. It's the truth. And you know, when he gave us the will, he put rods among the things that we would inherit. You inherit. When you inherit the will, you can open up a case and it's all full of rods. Rod of correction, rod to take care of pride, rod to take care of jealousy and bitterness and all of these human afflictions. Why do you call them afflictions? They are afflicting you. I don't have any afflictions. What a lie. You're as jealous as you can be. You are afflicted with the spirit of jealousy, just like a spirit of sickness, because it is a spirit of sickness. It will make you sick. These are the rods that we inherit. And the rod of take care of self. Oh, that is a big rod. Woo! It knows how to get to you. It's about 14 feet long, bigger than a weaver's beam. It pounds you in the ground, the only thing sticking out is a couple fingers in the top of your head, maybe your eyeballs a little bit. How many hearing this? Oh, such silly. Oh, you wait. I've peeked out of mounds of dirt. I know. See, trials are part of your life. Well, now, John, I'll just use you because you're sitting. Aren't you sorry you sat right there in plain view? Even sat ahead, waiting for some meat to come your way. Well, here comes a piece. Ha! Chunky. Well, you stood up here and you got married, see? And you kissed the bride, and man, and you kids, you come up and you kissed, and I married you, and you know, the different marriages I've had, and so on like that. Some more over there, they're going to do the same thing. Did you have any trials after that you got married? Well, there was a rod. You said, we become one flesh, and now you catch it together. What one suffers, the other suffers. The other one makes sure you do suffer right along with it. I'm suffering. Don't you be smiling and carrying on. You're going to suffer right along with me. Get over here in this suffering closet. Okay. It's the truth, ain't it? Oh, yeah. See, these trials were predestinated to come your way. Predestinated. They have been carefully and they have been lovingly weighed out for you and me. I ain't going to give you more than you can carry. Some people can carry more than others. You're walking along, you only got 14 ounces, not even a pound of trials on. You're just wiping out. And here comes a guy walking, passing you up, and he's got a ton on his back. Oh, man. And you say, well, how do you do it? I can't stand a little trial. But he has predestinated the season in your life for that trial and that chastisement and that rod, and it's all in the works. And there's a charter. The trials made for you, specially tailor-made. No, you go out and get a suit. You don't go down, you don't just go down and get into somebody else's suit. If you get a tailor-made suit, it's tailor-made to fit you. It will fit nobody else. Perfectly, that is. And it's the same way when you put on your trials. When you put on Jesus Christ, you put on trials. The world hates Jesus. Well, did you put on your tailor-made trial suit yet? Tailor-made by the Lord? Whew. He's predestinated their place. He's predestinated the intensity and how they shall affect us. Where will I end up? Maybe in jail. I don't know. Well, look at Paul. Look at Peter, Silas. Look at all the apostles. Look at them all. Look at all the martyrs. Well, that's negative to say you might end up in jail. Well, all right then. I'm positively telling you that God has got tailor-made things that are going to happen in your life. You might as well get ready for them. Yep. Hope he hasn't made any suits for me recently here, I'll tell you that. Are you hearing this? And also how they will affect us, I say. That, oh, what a difference there is in the body and the soul. As the outward man perishes, the inner man, glory to God, something is happening with the inner man. Made beautiful by more grace. The only way that grace can work. Are you hearing this? Okay, come on, don't get into talkathon here now. I believe good people should never expect to escape troubles and problems. Oh, I'm just going to be good. Be good. Hey, all you got to be is good. Did you ever have a kid that come up and, aren't I good? Aren't they sickening? I'm good, aren't I? My brother's bad. Icky. And you say, yes, you're a good boy, but after a while, they come, aren't I good? Yeah, you're good, and you're good and sickening. Stop snitching on your brothers and sisters all the time. Right? Well, isn't that right? Aren't we busy snitching on each other? You know what? That is sickening. You know what it is? Because it smacks of pride. And one thing that God hates is the worst thing. It's pride. Pride cometh before the fall. Happened to the devil, and it happens to everybody that tries it. Don't expect, I said, to escape trials because you are good. No one's good. Jesus said it. No one but the Father. Isn't that right? If you did escape, wouldn't you be number one? Oh, hey, have you ever seen someone that's escaped some trials and they're number one? I don't know. Guys are having all these trials and everything. I haven't had any. Huh? Everything is rosy. I mean, my life since I've been born again is so wonderful. And I believe it's because I claim and I hyper-faith it out and I believe. It's where your believing is, you know. You believe you're miserable, that's what you'll be. And if you believe you're happy, wow, get ready for a thunderbolt. Now, you know, one of these high-powered meetings, they'd throw me right on out of there. They'd come up with a couple of sky hooks and just lift me right out of there. Oh, they would. Say, get him off. He's ruining this meeting. We're just about ready for a collection here, a faith collection. That's a pretty heavy word, but it's the truth. How much faith do you have? How much money do you have? How much do you want back? 5 will get you 10. But have any of the saints escaped it? No. Look at Job. Lost all of his friends, lost all of his cattle, sitting on a dunghill, scraping off these boils and scabs off his body with a potsherd, and there he was up on top, and his friends say, what'd you do? I mean, we'd like to help you, but first let's go into the history of what you did. I mean, I'll throw you some breadcrumbs, but I mean, I'd like to examine this. I don't want to be involved with somebody that's sinned, you know what I mean? But they still stood around that dung, that stinking dung heap, just, you know, it was so much fun jibing him that they put up with the stink so they could give him a hard time. He wasn't quite miserable enough, see. Then his wife comes down, she says, why don't you curse God and die? Give me one good reason why you should live at all. Oh, man. Huh? Would you call that a smoky place? Right, John? Look at Abraham. He said, God says, now I want you to leave what you did believe in your faith and your people and get outside of the camp, a type of Jesus Christ. Get outside of the camp. Now I want you to go by faith, and you'll know not where you're going. Because if you knew where you're going, it wouldn't be faith. So get going where you don't know where you're going. Well, which way do I go? So when it came to whether he was going to go into Sodom and Gomorrah or go out into the plains, he said, well, I don't know where I'm going. You make up your mind. And then he thought in his mind, well, I'll believe that's from God. He'll just make up his mind. God will lead me, not what I see over there and what I hear and all those green plush meadows and everything. And you say first. Well, Lot was in the flesh. Abraham was in the spirit of faith. Well, I'll pitch my tents towards Sodom and Gomorrah over there, but, you know, I won't join in, but I'll just stick around, do some witnessing over there, and, you know. Okay, fine. He accepted the trials. And the biographies, by the way, of the apostles. Read them sometimes. Isn't that wild? Are you having some kind of a trial in your business? I really enjoyed, I was talking to my son-in-law, Dan, When we were downstairs, he was talking about how he had told this guy, he had built his business up and he was getting this clientele going, and there was no money that came in for a half a year, and the guy says, well, I'm going to let you go. And he says, don't be foolish. Now, that was a good word. That is the worst thing you could do, is let me go. Now, he wasn't crying about it. He was saying, we're ready for a breakthrough. And they did some $1 million worth of business in the next month or something, $100,000, and then it went up to $1 million point something dollars. See? Now, that was a word of faith to a man that was over here looking at his books. He had his mind so heavy on the books and so heavy on the trials, he couldn't see the blessing coming his way. Because he hadn't been out there in the smoke. And after you've been in the smoke long enough, then you start to get an answer, and you know the Lord is going to answer you. Think about it. Have any of them become vessels of mercy in all of them? Have any of them become vessels of mercy who have not hung up like bottles in the smoke? No. Not one. Have any of you listening been left hanging? In the world, they give scripture again. I was left hanging high and what? Dry. And they say something else that kind of tickles me. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Have you felt unused? Hanging up there like an old wineskin, and everybody comes in and says, man, look at that nasty old wineskin up there. Ooh. Have you felt like that? Keep on, because that's when you become Christ-like. Woo! And anyway, the royal mark on all the vessels and all the goblets was always the cross. The cross of trouble should mark every vessel of mercy. That's a vessel of mercy that's got the cross on it. But it's got trials connected to it. You were born into trouble. Sometimes your parents say that when you were born, you were trouble. And double toil and trouble come to the man who has double grace. Well, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. If you got a double portion of grace, you're going to have a double portion of trouble and trial and tribulation. And, of course, double mercy is given to that man. Well, then sometimes trials come from the poverty of their condition. I believe the bottle in this poor man's house gets the snow, gets all of the smoke. Not the bottle in the palace. You don't get it. At the White House dining room area, you aren't going to see no old wrinkled up wine jugs. In the Russian leaders' homes, you're not going to see that. We find no smoke. Only do we find smoke in the poor folks' homes. And so it is with God's poor people. They will have smoke in their homes. Well, do you mean the rich folks will never have no smoke? No, only when their chimney clogs up. I mean, you know what I mean? Temporary. Very temporary. But for the most part, God's people are not wealthy. God, it says, has chosen the poor in this world, rich in faith, that they should be heirs to the kingdom of God. See, the poverty has its privileges. You know what the privilege is? Jesus Christ is in that. Wherever that there's poverty, wherever that there's a pitiful sight, and wherever there's a wine jug that's hanging in the smoke, there you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he'll be. But it has its ills. But it has its smoke. But it has its trials. We don't know how we'll always be provided for. I don't even know how we're going to pay our next bills that are coming up here. That's the smoke that you live in. Right now we need about $15,000. Oh, I see someone reaching in their pocket. Thank you. Just put it in there. Give it to Mick after me. We may wonder where tomorrow's food is going to come from. That's the smoke that we live in. But you keep right on a trucking while you're in the smoke. That's what faith is. Praise the Lord. God, in the very midst of poverty, makes his children, the Bible says, very glad. And it also says that he cheers their hearts. And so that their humble home is like a palace. I remember we didn't have nothing. Man, you walked in there, you walked in the room into this apartment like this, and there was a room as big as this, from here to there, and over to this edge here. And when you fold down the Murphy bed, that was it. You went to bed. And there was five of us. But there was gladness in that house. There was singing. We used to take the lampshade off, and we'd take the shade off of these standing old lamps, and then we'd sing into these things and have talent hour. Huh? And now, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd come out and be dressed in my dad's coat, hanging down, had him rolled up in his hat on, hanging down over my ears, you know. Then they had all the gas meters there, you know, and I was, I'll have to tell this, because I still like to do it sometime. It was so much fun. And I would be Buck Rogers. Oh, I kicked everybody off of this ship. They weren't serious about it, you know what I mean. They thought I was a gas, you know. They had all these 20 things from all the apartments there, and you know what I mean? It was like a palace, that little cubby hole. And so he sent sweet music across these very troubled waters. And I see a lot of old wineskins come in this old church, down in the mission. Uncared for, depressed, dirty, beaten, ragged. But oh, when they get filled with the wine, the new wine of the Spirit. What a changed life they have. You know what happens? They become willing workers. Oh, a lot of times troubles come from our comforts, don't they? What makes the smoke? Somebody just said on the radio. Well, by the same fire that warns you. Wherever that there's smoke, there's fire. See, our comforts usually furnish us with troubles. Okay, now you got this great big, you're just hungry for ice cream. Kids used to ask me, say, oh, I wish I was a Greek kid and I worked in there with your dad and stuff, and then I could have, pie and ice cream and things. And oh, when I first got started working with my dad, I ate that pie and that ice cream, you know. It was comfort. But after a while, someone would say, how about some pie and ice cream? I'd say, gag time. I want no more of it. But it brought problems. Isn't that right? You can get so comfortable, and you get lazy, and then you get heart problems, and you get... Whew. Don't they come from our comforts a lot of times? See, it's the very law of nature. A good as always has an ill connected to it. Doesn't it? Oh, yes, this is my brand new car. Just got it. You like it? Get in, sit down. Yeah, isn't that great? Boy, it's wonderful. Yeah, I sure like the dash on this. Scrape! Oh, no, you scratched the dash! Oh, God, a dash! No! I'm sorry, I overreact. That's okay. And the guy goes to leave. You dummy. Huh? Or your new furniture? Or your brand new nice carpet? It's got an ill connected to it. Why doesn't he take off his boots? Huh? What a dunce. You go to bed at night thinking about will the marks ever come out? So your comfort brings you no comfort at all, and that's the trial you have with your comforts. The stream that waters can also drown you. Isn't it? It's a nice little stream. Here, have a drink. What's that noise? Whoa! Oh, what a blessing. It's raining, huh? Suppose they said that in the day of the ark. Whee! They're dancing around. Training, raining. What is this? What is this falling, huh? Oh, it's so much fun. It's so cool and nice. Woo, yay. Huh? Till they were floundering around. Till the waitress had to get in a rowboat and row over to their table. Then they got serious, didn't they? But it's the law of nature, love and hate. Huh? Oh, I love you so much, it hurts me. Huh? Right? There's pain connected to it. Isn't there pain connected to it? You're happy, and then there's the other side of happy. Unhappy. Sad. Miserable. Wretched. Poor. If there's an up, there's a down. Whatever the world says goes around, comes around. There's good and there's evil. There's sowing and there's reaping. God is the author of it all. And this fire that warms you. Oh, you got this nice fireplace. Oh, wow. And you throw all of the wrappings in there. Oh, I'm sure glad we got this. And look at even our, we put this to good use. We put our wrappers in there. Get the Christmas tree. Boom! Burn the house down. Well, it was such a beautiful fire. We were enjoying it, Mr. Fireman, your honorship. And, all of a sudden, we put the tree in there, and we don't have no home. We were just sitting there singing, Happy Holiday. Huh? Oh, it's such a nice, warm, sunny day out today. I just love the sun. And so the sun keeps shining for about 30 or 40 days. Huh? That same wonderful sun is not so wonderful anymore. And the rains that come and the flowers all bloom and it's real nice, they bring the whooping cough and the colds and all that kind of spring stuff. Now, there's always the opposite. Even the atoms all over, they can kill right now. There's always the opposite. It's the law of nature. There can't be someone good-looking until there's someone like me. Is that right? And so you good-looking people, you just got to rejoice. It's always the opposite. See, we do serve a purpose. Make you look better. And I'm saying that because a lot of times when a person is doing ill, he makes the person that's doing half right look real good. That's why God judged by the heart. But there's nothing good without its ill. There is no fire without its smoke.